After being stuck at home for more than a year, Filipinos have become even more reliant on online platforms such as YouTube vlogs, TikTok videos, and podcasts for entertainment and information dissemination. With that, online figures have also become more prominent and have been garnering more attention and influence. Beyond sharing their personal lives and promoting brands, content creators sometimes choose to also use their platforms to talk about their personal advocacies, as well as socio-political issues. Discussions on the responsibilities of being a content creator have made rounds online after TV host and actress Tony Gonzaga uploaded an episode of Tony Talks on her YouTube channel with the son of late dictator Ferdinand Marcos, Bongbong, who is seeking the presidential seat in the upcoming 2022 elections. With the national elections drawing nearer, the backlash the video received ignited numerous debates on the responsibility content creators carry. Given that their content has the power to influence their audience's beliefs, their content also has an influence on how society operates. Welcome to On Point, the guidance podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Joining us today is content creator, recording artist, actress, and youth advocate Janina Vela to discuss the nuances of the freedom of expression and the power of having an online platform. I'm Belle Gregorio. Let's go On Point. So let's go back to how you started as a YouTuber. What propelled you to jumpstart your journey?
I was 15 years old. At that time, I was watching a lot of other YouTubers kasi mahilig ako sa mga sina Zoella, Bethany Mota, when she was MacBaby11 pa, stuff like that. And I loved watching those videos. They were very therapeutic. They kind of gave me a community, a sense of community online that I didn't have, you know, in real life at that point. But you know, as I would watch these girls with Target and Michaels and whatever, Hobby Lobby, with blonde hair, with different skin texture, with different climate and culture even, I loved that sense of community. But I wish that I could localize that in a sense where, you know, I would be able to see me on the screen, you know, see a Filipina and be able to connect to her that way that I do to these foreigners. And that's basically the reason why I started. You know, I waited for somebody to show up, and there were a few that showed up, but I feel like in terms of cultivating that community and that culture, I wanted somebody who was a little bit more proactive in that, especially as a student, especially as a youth. And so yeah, instead of shopping at places like Target or Hobby Lobby, it was Divisoria, the department store, it was Quiapo, and using local brands and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of what propelled me to start at that point in my life.
Looking back at your journey, it's an understatement to say that you grew up under the public's eye. From your first video in 2015 to your most recent videos, how did the changes in society influence the evolution of your content through the years?
Well, to be honest, was it the changes in society or was it really the changes in me that changed my content? Because, you know, in terms of, you know, I started in beauty, we got into women empowerment and first pala confidence, inner confidence, women empowerment, mental health, and now social political content, social issues, political issues. These things were always there, you know, these issues were always present from my mom's generation and her mom's generation and her mom's generation. These were always there. I just didn't see it, you know, maybe I didn't choose to see it. Maybe my surroundings, you know, helped blind me in a sense. Unfortunately, my privilege kept me ignorant for a while. But I think as I grew older, as my world grew bigger, I slowly chose to see. I hope, you know, it was a choice that I made to see what was going on beyond my household. And that kind of widened my horizon and showed me that there's a lot more content, and there are also, I mean, makeup is important, inner beauty is important, but there are other important things also, as well, that I feel like are not given enough spotlight. They're not amplified enough. And there are so many other amazing makeup gurus in the Philippines, amazing lifestyle vloggers in the Philippines who are better than me, and I can say that genuinely. But in terms of the socio-political sphere of content, medyo konti pa rin kami. And so I hope to cultivate that community soon.
You mentioned shifting from beauty and makeup to discussing tricky topics and issues such as mental health, sexual harassment, women empowerment, and of course, the latest socio-political issues. Were you ever concerned that being vocal with these issues would impact your career?
Yes, and they did. You know, all of my fears about what would happen to my career happened. My followers went down, my views went down, the bashing comments went up, the dislikes grew. I hope it doesn't, but I feel like it might have a bearing as well. But me working with brands, the things that I endorse, the people that I work with, politics is unfortunately not, at least in the Philippines, you know, it's not just a personality issue, but then suddenly it becomes a human rights issue. And even if it's a human rights issue, it's so polarizing. And I, you know, that's something that I can't really wrap my head around. Regardless, you know, accepting that me, even if I wasn't really on one side, choosing one color, fighting for one name, even if I believed that human rights was my priority, it is a very polarizing topic. And so that division, my career really took a blow to that, or from that. And it's something that I had to accept, something that I had to anticipate. Because, yeah, I just really, I knew that it would happen. However, it was a question that I asked. It was a discussion that I had with my parents and my friends of, is this worth it? Will this be enough? Should I even try this at all? Will this even make a contribution? Will this even make a dent? And, you know, my answer was simple after that clutter of yes or no, push and pull, forward and back. It was, years from now, I don't want to regret not speaking up. Years from now, when I look back and I see that I weighed whether or not I should speak up for Filipinos who don't have a voice or stay within my comfort zone, I feel like I would regret choosing the latter. Because, yeah, and I always say this, but 2 years ago when I started opening towards the reality of the Philippines, the reality of our Filipino citizens, I realized that my platform was not for me anymore. I couldn't be aware, I couldn't have awareness and not take action towards whatever knowledge I had discovered, whatever realities I had been exposed to. So I always ask myself, okay, Janine, is it worth it to you? And the answer is always yes. It has been yes, and it still is yes, and I feel like it's going to be yes for the rest of my life.
Since you've already glossed over it, can you talk us through this political awakening that happened to you 2 years ago?
Yeah. It was the water shortage. You know, it's funny because sometimes we don't understand the gravity of our privilege until it's taken away. We don't understand the value of our rights until they're not there anymore. And, you know, I say this very dramatically, but the quote-unquote loss of rights that this privileged girl kind of encountered was the water shortage of 2019. And that water shortage, I lost water in my house, or we lost water in our house. And it was funny. It was like big Hunger Games vibes, fire trucks giving us water, using baldes and stuff. And it was funny because it was literally just a month. I'm so dramatic, no? It was literally just a month. And I remember doing a talk after that and I was like, oh, talking about this water shortage. And I was complaining. I was like, ang kapal na mukha ko, no? Nagre-reklamo pa ako. Tapos sabi ng mga students, sabi nila sa comments, ay, hindi alam ni Ate Janina na ganun yung normal sa province namin. And that was the biggest, like, gentle, loving slap on the face that really showed me, wow, there's so much more that you don't know. So I started to research about the water shortage and I saw that the issue was a lot deeper than what the media showed. And there's a lot of inequality there. There's a lot of corruption that goes on behind the doors of politics. Yeah, and so I think that's when my call to fight for truth started. And that's when my call to fight for human rights started. Unfortunately, you know, it took that. It took something being taken away from me, and it took something happening close to home, or literally in my home, to happen for me to wake up. But no regrets. I'm glad it did.
How do you deal with those who bash you, especially when your content is political in nature?
How do you deal with bashers? That year that I started my social political content, I was canceled. And it was a really big learning experience because I was there. I had no idea how these roundtable discussions went. I did not know the political jargon at the time. I was very uneducated on the issues of today, how to stand, what my convictions were, which side to stand on. So many things that I did not know. So many things that I realized I had to learn, which is, you know, essentially why I got into political science here at Ateneo. But bashers, I think, you know, my point is that I choose to educate myself. I choose to make myself the most competent. I choose to be as grounded in my beliefs as possible before I say anything, so that anything the bashers say will not affect what I believe in, will not affect what I stand for, will not affect, you know, what I feel about the choice that I made. But, you know, I'm still human. I'm still human. So, syempre, masakit pa rin siya, no? But with the latest video, the martial law video, that was my first time to get explicitly troll bombed. I think before I would have bashers every now and then, and it would be a lot. I would, you know, trend on Twitter every now and then, people trying to cancel me, pero I'm stubborn by nature, I'm still here. But, you know, that was my first time because 2 days in, I had about 400 comments, and then, you know, suddenly it was at 1,000, and then 5,000, and now it's at 16,000 of, you know, hate, and 10-20 propaganda videos against me came up, hate videos against me came up. And, you know, I'm very proud to say that I'm not fazed at all. Well, here's the thing. These trolls are paid, right? These trolls are paid to comment on my page. And when they comment on my page, I get paid. So it's a little bit of a win-win. They get food on their tables. I get food on my table. They watch my video. So I get to do what I want to do, which is educate, enlighten people. So it's a win-win, honestly, when you think about it. They just don't know that. And so I think, yeah, in a sense, well, I say this now because it took me years to get to this point where I'm not fazed by it. Of course, it would hurt me a lot before. But yeah, I think thick skin is what you need. My mom always asks me, before I do something controversial, she says, Janina, is your heart ready? That's always what she asks me. Is your heart ready? And then that's when I actually have to process it. Okay, what's the worst comment I can get? How would I feel when that happens? Is that true about me? What can I do to combat that lie? So really processing everything before it happens. And so when it does happen, I'm ready. And so, yeah, it's emotionally and mentally exhausting, but I'm still alive.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you indeed makes you stronger. And I really applaud you for having thick skin and just being strong and knowing where your heart is, because I think that's the intention that people really see. And that's why people still show up and watch your videos and appreciate you, even though there are trolls bombing you left and right. And since you've already mentioned cancel culture, let's talk about that. Numerous content creators have gained fame through the years. However, in the same manner, many have also experienced nosedives in their careers because of cancel culture. You've been very vocal in urging social media users, especially your followers, your subscribers, to show sympathy instead of attacking public figures and quote-unquote canceling them. However, do you hold personal non-negotiables?
I think I do, you know. I think, well, okay. The reason why, let's just lay the foundation for what I believe, you know, in terms of cancel culture. I always prioritize education over cancellation for many reasons. First is I don't believe that we have the choice to decide whether someone gets a second chance or not. I have made so many mistakes in my life. I'm sure people who are listening have also made mistakes in their life, in school, in work. And it's inevitable because we're human. And so I don't agree so much with cancel culture that, okay, one mistake, your career is over. Second, yeah, well, I think that kind of, that takes compassion and that takes empathy to carry out, no? But anyway, second, if we want to be strategic and there are messages, there are advocacies, there are campaigns and truths that we want to be exposed or, you know, shouted out into the world, picking off our influencers one by one is not the way to go. And so sometimes I say this, no, it's, we have to be strategic because ang konti na nga lang ng mga socio-political influencers, tapos ika-cancel nyo pa rin sila one by one, sino na po yung maiiwan? Who is going to be the voice there? And so it's not, you know, it's also strategic for us as people who are, you know, as advocates, as activists maybe even. What we need kasi is a collective effort to fight for what we believe in. It won't take just one person. And so if we're talking about collective effort, we need more than one voice. But if we are silencing voices for speaking out, maybe the wrong thing, and I understand that there are, you know, people do say the wrong thing, and then we don't give them another chance to open their mouth ever again, no voices will be heard. Platforms will be wasted. And so, yeah, well, let's just be strategic a little. But yeah, non-negotiables, I feel like, I talked about second chances. And so what if it's a third chance now? What if it's the fourth chance? What if they're not listening? What if there is no empathy? What if they are being presented with the facts and presented with the knowledge and yet they're not listening? I wouldn't say cancel the person, but maybe we can make a choice just to unfollow. We don't have to hate on the person, but we can withdraw support. You know, maybe we don't have to mock or bash the person, but slowly removing a little bit of power by removing a little bit of influence, by removing yourself from their followers list and, you know, being proactive in educating other people or enlightening your friends, your family as to why what they said was not correct, you know, why what they believed in is a little bit sketchy, I think is important. As a social political influencer, that's a non-negotiable. I think political discussions are okay and opposing political views are okay. But when the discussion is about human rights and the belief that you hold is not towards human rights, then I will seriously consider, you know, your platform as an influencer. Because, well, you can't argue the value of life. You can't argue the value of human dignity. You can argue which, maybe sometimes, which president, which mayor. But I think there are things like that that are non-negotiable, which is the value of life to me.
Let's go back to like being a social political influencer. You said that kukonti na lang kayo. You guys belong to a very small pool. And I'd like to think that being part of this pool is dangerous territory because people can easily put out content and hide them under the guise of freedom of expression. So let's explore your thoughts on the freedom of expression and how free you think freedom of expression really is and how neutral one can really be.
I don't think anybody is fully neutral. We'll just put it out there. Me, I'm not. I try to be as neutral as possible. I try to be objective as possible. But even if it's not towards a certain color or personality, I have values. I have convictions. I have principles that I hold fast to that will show up in my content because I'm human and because I'm using my own voice. I'm using my own mind. And neutrality is such an interesting conversation now because, you know what, honestly, I don't think we live in a world where neutrality will get us very far. I know that it's a safe way to go, But if, what's that quote? If you remain neutral in situations of oppression, you have chosen the side of the oppressor, right? Or being neutral doesn't help anybody but the oppressor. And so, you know, I think I tweeted this, no? It was urging people, pick a side. Choose what you believe in and stand firm on that. Neutral is safe. Neutral is easy. But neutral will keep people hungry. Neutral will keep women unequal. Neutral will withhold fair wages. Neutral will withhold good quality education. And so, what was the first part of the question?
How free do you think the freedom of expression really is, and how neutral can one really be?
I always think about this. It's always, what's the good purpose of me saying this right now? What's the good purpose? There are things that, yes, I value emotion so much. I value expressing yourself so much. But there are specific mediums for the specific ways you express yourself. Is Twitter really the place to be swearing at a certain person, right? Or is that a Barkada thing, you know? With my mom, like, we go off on, you know, whatever is going on. But you won't see me on Twitter doing that, because what would be the good purpose of people seeing me dishonor and disrespect our authority? There would be no good purpose in that. And so, definitely, yes, there is freedom of speech, freedom of expression. That's one of the fundamental parts of our democracy, right? That's fundamental parts of our constitution. However, you just always have to go back to, why are you doing this? Why are you saying this right now? Is this really going to be beneficial in the grander scheme of things? Is it? I don't know. That's up for you to decide. I can't decide that for you. But yeah, objectively, I mean, basically, yeah, we do have freedom of expression. I think it just goes back down to your principles.
You know, listening to you talk right now, it's very evident that your videos echo the things you are most passionate about. And your videos are not just made for the sake of creating content. Among your videos, which are you most proud of and why?
Well, I really love my Trendsetter series, which I started last year. I was supposed to pick that up again, but, you know, second year. But, you know, I'm really proud of that one because I think I finally found my voice. And it wasn't somebody na nagmamarunong or putting myself above others, but it was really from a place of, I have so much to learn, so let's learn together. You know, I started Trendsetter because I was very into pop culture, and I think society made me believe that because I look the way that I do, because I'm a woman, because whatever, I love makeup, then pop culture is all I can be passionate about. But as I grew up, I kind of questioned that, and I had to unlearn that and think, is that really all I am? Is that really all I can be? Somebody who's into pop culture? Or can I also be passionate about politics? And so I wanted to break that stigma and say, if you're passionate about politics, it doesn't mean you can't be passionate about pop culture and vice versa. I wanted to change that about our society and about my generation. And it's funny because it's called Trendsetter, and I realized I never explained why it was called Trendsetter. But obviously in that series, I would talk about the trends, and I would talk about the trends in a reactive way. Something would pop up and we'll talk about that. Which has posed a problem right now, because what happens is the good people are reactionary. There's no proactivity in... I think the reason why there's so many fake news is because the real news is not as highlighted as it should be. Because, you know, if we already had a foundation of the truth, fake news wouldn't have to be broken down every single time. But for some reason, fake news is always at the forefront, and real news, or the truth, always lags behind. And so with Trendsetter, it was always very reactionary, and I saw that trend in our media. But I called it Trendsetter because I believe that the youth, we don't have to be just reactionary. We don't have to only respond when there's a negative thing that happens. We don't only have to speak up when something bad happens. But I believe that we can also set the trends. We can already set the trends of truth. We can already set the trends of equal rights. We can already be at the forefront so that when trolls, fake news, when inequality comes, we're already there. We're already standing our ground. And that's why I chose the name Trendsetter, because I do believe in the power of the youth to set the trends, the foundation, the solid ground for character and compassion and competence that I feel like has been lost in the last years.
Okay, so since you've talked about having power, after everything's been said and done, what does it mean to you to have a platform?
Personally, the personal answer, this is such a special thing to have a platform, to have strangers listen to what I have to say, to have people trust in a credibility that I've built over the years. Such a blessing and such an honor. But I'm going to go the very cliche route. Sorry about this, guys. But, you know, what it means to have a platform basically is it just means people are watching you. It just means that you have shown up to a space where you are free to speak, where you are free to move, and you are free to act. And when you have a platform, there are people watching you do that. And I think that's not exclusive to influencers. It's a cliche answer, but that's genuinely what I believe, and that's what I inject into the hearts and minds of my VelaFam and have been for many years. And especially in the context of voter education, I got this question. They were like, oh, it's really great, Janine, that you're doing this, that you're, you know, you're a privileged, educated woman who obviously looks the way that you do, who has a platform, who has this aesthetic that people like. But what about people who don't? Like, how about those people? And it's interesting because they think that I think that I can do everything. they think that I think that I am the whatever, the Mockingjay, the savior of this generation. You know, there's so many people who call me the hope of our generation. I'm like, girl, calm down. I'm only a sophomore. I have boy problems too. But, you know, sorry. What I'm trying to say is, and more than that, it's what I reply to them is, yes, I know that I am limited. I acknowledge that my platform is limited. I acknowledge that there are so many people that I will not be able to talk to. There are so many things that I will not be able to do. So many things I won't be able to accomplish, especially on my own. And that's why I need you. That's why my platform needs your platform. That's why my voice needs your voice to amplify what we're both trying to say. And so I think, yeah, that's something that I want people to understand. And, oh, here we go. Okay, so we have this thing in the Philippines where we love to idolize a certain person. We like to idolize a certain figure. Make that person our hero. Bayani natin. The hope of a generation. Yun nga, diba? But I feel like that narrative has to end. We've had that for centuries where we have the national hero, which is still being debated. It's like, why does there only have to be one? I don't know. Sorry. Liberal. And then, you know, you go to the EDSA Rev, you remember one last name. Modern day LGU. I love Mayor Vico Soto. I campaigned for Mayor Vico Soto. But he's also just one man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe in him so much. But I also understand his limits, because he's a human. And so I feel like that narrative has to end where we only look to a savior, where we only look to one person to save us, where I feel like we all have the capacity, we all have the platform, we all have the potential to be the heroes of our own spheres, changing our own worlds. If we all collectively, individually change our own worlds, that's how the world is going to change. Not with one hero who will change the entire globe, but if everybody in their own spheres changed their worlds. And so, yeah, that to me is what influence means. That's what platform means. It's using whatever voice you have, choosing to show up and using that for the good of your community.
You know, I really like how you called out the tendency of Filipinos to put certain figures on a pedestal. I was supposed to ask what else you hope to do and achieve with the platforms and influence you currently possess. But I really like what you said about you having your platform because other people are there. It's sharing platforms with others, not really giving them the voice because they already have the voice, but just passing on the mic to them,
yes,
to other issues. So let's wrap things up. You mentioned everyone having the potential to have a platform, having the potential to change things, having the potential to use their voice for whatever advocacy they are most passionate about. Knowing that a lot of people look up to you, even though you are merely human, even though you also have your boy problems, and all these things you've mentioned earlier.
That better not be the tagline, Janina Bella, also has boy problems.
Let's humanize you for a bit because, you know.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
What advice would you give to aspiring content creators on how to utilize their platforms effectively? Let's end with that.
Start with you. Again, going back to my journey, I loved makeup, and so inner confidence was the way that I could step forward with that. I loved sharing my school lifestyle, so mental health was the way that I could step forward with that. And eventually, adding those all together, here I am in politics. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is you don't have to attack the giants right away. You can just look within your sphere, look within your community, look within yourself. What do you feel like you're passionate about? What do you feel like ignites a fire within your soul? And just tackle that. It's a lot like planting seeds. You know, a lot of the times we want to have like a big outcome, a tree, a forest. But we also neglect that there is a lot of importance in starting small and patience and doing what you are capable of doing right now. If what you are capable right now is using your Twitter account to retweet, is using your Instagram account to repost, then that's okay. And then maybe take a next step. Maybe you can tweet about something. Maybe you can make your own story about something and then take the next step. And as you're doing that, you also expand who you are, expanding what means a lot to you. So, example, if you feel like something that you deal with is insecurity, I'm sure you're not the only one. I'm telling you already, you're not the only one. And so start small. Start with that. Talk about beauty. Talk about diversity. And then take a next step. I hope you're you know, kind of catching my drift. I guess don't neglect the small beginnings is what I'm trying to say. And don't be too hard on yourself if you're not doing something huge and big. Because again, our point here is collective effort. It's using our own platforms to create one big platform. And yeah, and I think this is, I guess Janina Vela is telling you, girl, I need you. You know, we need you. We need your voice. We need your platform because in the conversation that every human individual is different, is unique, so is your voice. So is the perspective that you can give. So is all of the insights you can give. And there are things that you are meant to do that I will never be able to do. There are people, again, you can speak to that I will never be able to speak to. There are advocacies that I will never be able to tap into, but you can, and you are destined to do that. And if you don't, who will?
On that note, we would like to thank you for taking
time to join us today, Janina.
We commend you for using your online platforms to hold the line, for insisting that there are boundaries of freedom of expression, and that there is a massive responsibility that comes with being a content creator. You have not shied away from using your platforms to shed light on relevant issues and encourage your audiences, your subscribers, your followers to be more critical and discerning about each person's social responsibility. So thank you so much. Thank you for joining us in another episode of On Point. the Guidance Podcast Arm, where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Special thanks to our executive producers Samantha Anglatko and Martin Ramos, as well as our producers Tatiana L. Maligro, Andrea Micaela Lianis, Neil R. Reyes, and Beatriz C. Reyes. This episode was edited by Rebecca Filasol. Our cover art is by Caitlin W. Mercado, and our theme music is brought to you by Vivid Productions. This has been Belle Gregorio. See you the next time we go on point.